right, welcome to Rip the Pack. I'm your host, David Allen, alongside Will Bryant and Grayson McKee. We'd like to welcome you to our first podcast. The name may change, but the people here won't. Will and Grayson, you want to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what we're going to be doing here on this podcast?
Yeah, hi, I'm Will. That's gamertag WDB95. My primary expertise on the show will be the show, actually. That went right into each other. Yeah, I'll be your Diamond Dynasty guy, looking at the best purchases, new packs, and running over all that information. And my man Grayson here. Go ahead.
Joined by Grayson on the other side, me, myself, and I have a multitude of names. We go by Stokes on the golf course, Grandbaby Buffalo. That's where you can find me on the PlayStation. We're going to talk to you. Will said he's going to handle a lot of the show. We're going to handle Mutt on my side over here. A lot of new things coming on. This Madden 20 is the season, and a lot of new packs coming out, but it's just getting started.
Well, as someone who went to sleep last night and came back downstairs and found over 200,000 coins, it means that you guys are getting busy on starting your Madden Ultimate Team seasons out. So what are your initial impressions so far of Madden 20, whether it be gameplay or whether it be what they've got going on with Madden Ultimate Team itself?
The actual gameplay seems to be a lateral move almost from year to year. Small changes you can find is the quarterback accuracy is definitely switched up in this Madden. You may tend to have guys overthrowing balls by a dramatic amount, or cards such as the Patrick Mahomes who just seem to put everything on a dinner plate served up hot for you.
I noticed accuracy as well. The other thing I noticed was it seems really easy to break tackles and get out of, get a spin move off of the running back in the middle of the hole as well. So a couple offensive changes. Anything defensively that you guys noticed?
The tackling stats, of course, being this early in Madden, you're not going to see a lot of higher up cards. So if you're finding an 82 tackling stat, that's going to be very beneficial for you right now. But on the reverse side of that, if you have a running back or an elusive wide receiver who has an actual elusive rating of 82 or higher right now, you're liable to miss a lot of tackles on the defensive side.
I think what's interesting this year is that there's a lot of – you got some higher gold players in the 78, 79 range that can actually benefit your team. I think it was Christian Kirk had like 84 speed.
Right.
But he's going for like 1,000 coins. That's an interesting play.
Rashad Perriman at the 79 with 86 speed. Also, Godwin over there with 87 speed. I mean,
that's an easy play if you just need someone to stick in the slot, go over the top from time to time. Keep the defense guessing.
So what would you guys suggest? Somebody gets on Madden, gets the game from GameStop this week or whatever. They download it. They hop in at home. They may be like me. They're initially going to want to look at this QB1 face of the franchise thing that is going to bring a college option, but eventually they say, all right, I'm going to give Mutt a try. Do you start off with solo challenges? Do you have any tips or tricks that you think is beneficial to somebody just coming off the jump?
So right now, this early on in the Madden, you don't have a ton of solos that you can play. But one of the things we do see that's new this year is the Ultimate Trainers. It's the very first set that you're eligible to do. And if you complete all of that, you get really good cards at the end of it, and it starts your coin stackage. Right now, what we suggest to do is hold track of all of your coins and wait. And it seems tedious, but if you wait another 3 weeks before prices start to drop, then you could start making your big moves to get better players.
Yeah, I think my number one thing is just if you – so you play these early challenges and you're going to get some tradable cards, their value will never be higher than it is right now. So if you get that Zach Ertz, who will end up going for, what, Grayson, 15K at the end of the year, maybe less, 8K, right now you're going to get him out of your hands for 30. So that's a move you need to make now. And if you really want Zach Ertz, go back and buy him later for fourth of the cost.
So basically what I'm hearing is right now the smartest thing to do – play the challenges, get the coins, open the packs, and whoever you get who is of value, go ahead and flip them because at this point, the demand for those cards is high and the price is going to be high, therefore.
Correct. If you take a look at my team, for instance, we're running the quarterback slot with 86 Baker Mayfield right now, who is an NAT card.
NAT, untradeable.
Untradeable, non-auctionable or tradable. You cannot get rid of him for coins or anything like that, so he's worth to keep on your roster. But the one thing about that is, if you're stacking your entire team like that, you're not going to have a great team, but your coin stack will be up.
Speaking of that Baker, I actually gambled it, and I got to tell you, Grayson's method is better. I put Baker in the 86 set to get an 88 player, and I think I probably came out about even if I just sold. I mean, Baker wasn't sellable, so not. I probably got 20,000 coins out of it, which really wasn't worth it with my man Patty Mahomes now at quarterback, the 80 overall that they give you.
Correct.
So are there any other strategies? I know you guys have one in mind. I don't know if we can find that guy's YouTube name or whatever so we can shout him out for what he did.
We'll have to give him some credit here at some point because per what me and Will found last night at about 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time, in the span of about 2.5 to 3 hours, we flipped 40,000 coins. Is that what you had?
40,000 coins.
We flipped 40,000 coins into 240,000 coins. There's a system out right now, as Will mentioned earlier. Prices are never going to be higher for these smaller cards. So if you would go to get a pack where you just get one single player, a silver player for 500 coins, continue to rip those packs and continue to put them in sets to level them up to higher overall players. If you open up $10,000 worth of packs, then you can flip it for a return on investment for anywhere between $15,000 to $60,000. It's a very tedious task, but it will pay off in the long run.
Yeah, and the players you're looking for, they are big on the those power-up cards. They're going to get you the most money. So it's the ones that have the highest base card, right, Grayson?
Correct.
So, I mean, earlier I know Earl Thomas sold him for 40,000 coins. He's 74 overall power-up. Hopkins for 20. God knows what Barkley goes for.
Tyreek Hill goes for 60, I think, at last check. I mean, you're looking at a lot of these cards, and on top of the fact that you could get lucky and pull them, if you go and just search those players on the auction block, that's the easiest place to get snipes. And what I mean by that is if you go and look up Tyreek Hill on the auction block right now, most of them are going to be listed for $60,000, but you could find somebody who might not know what they're doing and throw them up there for 1,000 coins. So if you go search him continuously and buy him for 1,000 and just flip him instantly for 55,000, that's what, 53,000 after taxes that you're returning. So it's profitable.
So what I'm hearing so far is the first 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks, the first month of the Madden Ultimate Team season, the actual gameplay is not the most important thing at this point. You want to be diligent on buying and selling, looking at the markets for these guys, and by the end of the month, you may look at your team and it may not be the sharpest team in the world, but your coin count is going to be high.
Correct. Once you start getting those team of the week cards that come out, that's when you're going to really see your team jump up in its overall. Like mentioned earlier, you're not going to have a pretty overall regardless of what you do for the next month. You might boost up from an 81 to an 84. But you're going to be stuck with that 84 for a month. And then when that happens, you're not going to have any coins left over. So,
transition?
I mean, yeah, I know. I was going back to what we were talking about the power-ups. I was just looking through the market gainers today. And because of these cards that have come out, the Madden, the trainer cards, and some of the other cards, guys, overalls have gone up, right? Their cards have gone up. So, Anthony Barr, pretty sure last night we sold him his training card for, what, 30? Is it 52 today on the market? AJ, how do you say his last name? Boye. So, he's at 12.7. That seems low for him, so you might want to hold him until he goes up. Earl Thomas back up to 50. So, really, y'all, those power-up cards are worth a look at all times. Always be sure to check those out. And I think sets in general, like, just
– correct.
Get rid of those. If you got a bunch of silver players, just start pumping them into sets, because what happens is it starts a funnel and you'll eventually have an 89 overall player. Say you get lucky, you have a guy that sells for 100,000. You've made 100,000 just from emptying an inventory that you got from just playing the game.
Correct. When you rip a pack, just don't let it sit there over time. Immediately put those players that aren't going to be used into the sets.
So sets is a good way to transition over to Diamond Dynasty MLB The Show, but we won't do it yet because I want to end on Madden with one thing. which is for the person like D-Ray, who at one point only played franchise, only played Road to the Show on Diamond Dynasty, or on MLB The Show, what's the pitch for playing Madden Ultimate Team as a straight-up game? Aside from the fact that it brings, obviously, a lot more strategy to what you're doing, what would be the reason to switch over and get to Madden Ultimate Team?
Yeah, I think...
Not 100% sure that we are going to be able to cut in and out what just happened. Big G over here got a little something stuck in his throat, so we're back. My transition was, why play Madden Ultimate Team?
Oh, my God. It's our Snipes of the Day section, folks. Looking at them. Here we go. So, you're looking – we're talking about Snipes. We're talking about running the market.
Why play Madden Ultimate Team? Well, that was the setup.
I don't know what happened. The Snipes of the Day just hit.
All right.
So, what are we going to do? But so, today, we're looking – Tyreek Hill sells for $130,000 right now. Two people today got him for 250 coins. I don't know how I feel about that one. Now, the one that I think is actually real is some chump thought they could put up Mahomes with a really low auction starting price. And something happened with the EA servers, and someone got him for 36.8K because the auction ended during an update or something. Same thing with Reggie White. He's going for 300,000 coins or so, and he went for 27.3K. So the moral of the story is always check the auction block. Like, always play around in there. You never know what you're going to find, and, you know, you'll never have a chance to get a snipe if you don't look down the lens. You feel me?
We bring this back around by saying that even though all of these are big names, the smaller name players, they're going to have more frequent snipes. Now, they're not going to be the big money grabbers like how the Patrick Mahomes or the Tyreek Hill cards might be. But if you pull a Brian Bulaga, for instance, go look at his price. There's going to be people who are not going to post him at the correct price. There's going to be people that post him for 10% of what he's actually worth.
I actually almost did that last night, and Grayson got very upset. When we were messing with Dave Ray's team trying to make some coins, we pulled – 68 overall offensive lineman. I don't even know who it was.
Joe Staley, probably.
It was Joe Staley or someone. And I was like, 1,000 coins. He's a power up, but he's no lineman. He went for 27, folks. So, moral of the story, always check. Doesn't matter. No rhyme or reason sometimes because, you know, the market just goes by demand. So, if 10 Jaguars fans get on the game at once, they all want that AJ Bouye power up card. His value is going to go up, even though it probably shouldn't. So always check.
2 years ago, the perfect example of that, there was a 81 overall Bruce Irving that was a team of the week card that instantly translated into a set to a 91 AJ Green. So that Bruce Irving went for the exact price of AJ Green, and the AJ Green card was going for $160,000. And you would see people putting the Bruce up, the 81 overall Bruce, for 13,000. So if you find cards like that that you can instantly flip, good on you, because that's the best situation.
Anything else you guys want to add about Mutt before we switch over to Diamond Dynasty for a few minutes?
I think we've hit all of our bases.
We've hit it all. All right, Will, can we get some kind of transition noise, please?
Yeah, you want transition noise?
I'll take whatever you got.
Okay, this is one. This is a pretty good one.
Welcome to Diamond Dynasty Talk. Now, I feel like I'm a little bit more at home as we switch over to D-Dude. As you're rounding out your Diamond Dynasty season, I guess, rather, because if you're like us and you're playing both of them, Will, any tips right now for what's going on in the Diamond Dynasty market or anybody you're looking at? What's the deal?
No, look, I'm still trying to understand the rhyme or reason behind Cody Bellinger. So I understand how the developers do it. That it's 3-year sample. Players can move up and down based on, you know, averages over 3 years. They say it's not like a 2-week stretch. Otherwise, Josh Bell would have been a 99 for the month of May. So essentially, Bellinger's been able to move up because this is his third year in the bigs. So he's got a lower sample size. So what he's doing right now is really affecting that 3-year scale. Yet he's only 28,000 still, and I don't get it because he's been very productive for me. I bought him when he was at 18 last week before he went up to, or a couple weeks ago before he went up to a 91. But you look at the guys around him who have way less chance to move up and down because of their tenure in the bigs. Scherzer at 70, right above him at 92. Nolan Arenado at 98,000, right below him, 91 overall. And then you've even got 90 overall Mookie Betts at 83,000. So really no rhyme or reason, but you see the same thing the whole way down. Alex Bregman at 18,000, 88 overall. Freddie Freeman at 30,000. Freeman has way less chance to go up than Alex Bregman entering his third year in the bigs, but that's how it goes. Maybe people are that scared of him moving down. I don't know, but that's my first take, that you should always buy those young guys, put your trust in them, because fact of the matter right here is you can get a 91 overall, 88 overall, 87 overall, and you're spending less than 50,000 coins. Not many teams can say that.
Well, here's one question I have for you. MLB The Show and a video game about baseball more than any other sport is so subject to the individual player. So my reason I say this is I've played with Cody Bellinger a couple of times on the Diamond Dynasty mode where you can draft the rosters, and personally, I don't hit very well with Cody Bellinger. Same thing happens to me anytime. I might get somebody, for instance, when I have Ichiro, the 93 overall Ichiro card, the rookie Ichiro card, I hit over 400 with him. He's never coming off my roster, but Grayson might never be able to figure it out with Ichiro. Is it possible that Cody Bellinger's weird stance and being the fact that he's a lefty could affect his price?
Your feelings on Cody Bellinger are my exact feelings on Yasmani Grandal. He might read an 84 overall, but his swing is in my Mount Rushmore of sweetest swings in baseball. There's just something about it where everybody just seems to have it timed up, and he plays way above his overall.
Right.
I've got a purchase idea for that. Speaking on good swings, I know you love Pete Alonso's swing.
Okay.
His price today, $12,000.
I sold him for $60,000 the day that his card was released.
That's what I'm saying. His value was never going to be higher. Market gain. But what I'm saying is right now, you got $12,000 lying around. You want an impact bat, highest power on the game right there, Pete Alonso.
125 to lefties and to righties, if I remember right.
Literally nobody has higher power than Pete Alonso. So if you're looking for an impact bat in the middle of your lineup, go ahead right now, throw $12,000 at him.
While we're on the same topic of power crushers at 125 to both righties and lefties, do we have an update on Vlad, what his price would be, being that he's the second highest power to righties and lefties? Pete is at 125 to righties and lefties. Vlad is 124 to righties and lefty both. Do we have a price update on him?
Yeah, I'm checking him out right now. You can get him right now at $7,000, folks.
So 5,000 coins cheaper, but you're still getting a very powerful bat.
Okay, porque no los dos. Let's go ahead and get both and make your corner infield just that familiar.
So, okay, well, then here's my question for you. You guys both just described two masterful power hitters that you can get for right around $10,000. What is the most money you would spend on a card right now?
Let me see how much this one goes for. I would spend $150,000 on a card.
Okay, wow.
Just because it's Eric Davis, and I didn't realize how overpowered it was until I got to see a video of someone playing with him, and it's got to be the most elite card on the game. Like, people aren't wrong. It's overpowered. If you think his price is not justified, he's got the speed of Ichiro with the power of Pete Alonso, essentially, at least to lefties. That's an impact player in your lineup.
Power versus lefty is 125, and speed is 94 with a steal rating of 98. That is not a card you can go wrong with.
He's a diamond fielder with a diamond arm.
Yeah. He'll be sure to gun down somebody at first base when you're not looking.
So right now, there are several diamond players available under $15,000. Keith Hernandez is 98 overall, is under there. Ozzie Smith, 97. Ian Kinsler, 96. I have one piece of advice about Ian Kinsler. Just don't bat him in the three hole. Anything else you do is fine. Just don't bat Ian Kinsler in the three hole.
That's rookie talk from the host over there. He started talking mad junk about Ian Kinsler in the three hole and who took him yard in the third inning.
Probably Ian Kinsler.
Ian Kinsler.
So here's my – let me ask one more question. Everybody – like I said, baseball really – it's a personal game. You got to have a little bit of feel for it. Is there anybody right now that you guys are playing with? You said Yasmani, but is there anybody else who's a lower rating who you just feel like is outperforming on your team?
I have a Javi Baez card that is at his minimum of 84. His core card is actually an 85 or an 86, I believe. But his day-to-day rating dropped down to 84 at the last that I played him. And, again, with the Yasmani, his sweet swing of the Mount Rushmores, he's got it perfectly timed out for us. So even when he's boosted down to the 84, he still plays like he's a 89 overall, like a Ronald Acuna. So
the other great thing about Baez is you can put him almost anywhere. I mean, he can play – he plays eligible second base, third base, center field. But correct. If you really wanted to, you could probably put him in the corner outfield. He'd probably be okay.
Correct.
I think the – if you're talking about like a very – because Baez still sells in the 10K, 20K range, right?
Correct.
So I think if you're looking for a productive impact bat in those lower amounts, first base, Edwin Encarnacion, absolute power bat. Second base, I don't really have an opinion there. Does anybody?
I have my Ian Kinsler playing second base, but I have what I like to refer to as a value team. As we spoke to earlier with Pete Alonso and Vlad Jr., both home run packs, or both home run cards rather, are both on my team, along with the 96 Ian Kinsler and the 86 Javi Baez right now. You'll be hard-pressed to find somebody on my roster that goes for over 13,000.
The one second base, there are a couple. What I do a lot of times second base is I carry shortstops that can play second base.
Right.
So I have Rendon playing second base right now, who's obviously third baseman. The other guy who I'm seeing on a ton of teams that I play online is Keston Hira, however you pronounce his name. He is an 88 overall, and he's going for $6,100 coins right now.
That's legend. Is that his like impact card?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. So
that's pretty good.
That's his future stars card. At 88, and he's got a 95 contact lefties, which is pretty good. But I mean, he's the one who I've seen, I feel like, on every team so far. Switch to pitchers. You want to go for pitchers?
Wait, one last impact bat. This one I forgot about because, I mean, he's gone down because he had 97 power earlier because of a glitch from the developers, but against lefties. Trevor Story is an elite gold guard. Like, he is a fantastic 1,000 investment. He has, like, 80 power both sides. Not 97 anymore, sadly. Cannon arm.
Corey Seager's that guy for me. That's what I've been holding on to.
Those are the same for me with DJ LeMay.
And the strange thing about it is if any of those guys hit 85 or higher, they would get the Lindor factor and just, boom, through the roof.
The best thing that we can tell you is find somebody whose swing you just like. Now, stats, of course, mean the world. But if you find somebody whose stats are 10, 15 below the average stats of another player on your team, but your swing just matches up with him, then you still have the possibility to rake.
We switch to pitching. I think I know where Grayson's going to go with this. As I look at the 92 overall diamond right now, Max Scherzer is going for $65,000. At the same ability is Luis Castillo, who's going for $5,996, who I know Grayson likes and has on his roster.
There's no reason to pay up for pitchers, starting pitching, in my opinion. I don't know how y'all feel about that. I just wanted to get that out front. There's a chance you would never pitch with them.
Correct. My two guys that are my go-to out of the pen, and that's what I'm going to go with here, Dylan Betances and Johnny Venters. Now, people underestimate this throw, but the slurve, it can start at the batter's hip and end up on the other side of the batter's box, and I know that it has been well effective versus the two of these guys.
That's true.
Oh, Venters? Yeah, Venters has been effective against me. I don't know about
the one guy who I cannot tell you enough how much I think it's a steal. It would be if we're doing a segment called Steal of the Week, it would be the 88 Diamond Kerry Wood for 6,500 coins.
Really?
He's
I didn't
realize
how cheap he was.
I think right now I'm 11-2 with him, a sub 2.5 ERA. And right next to him is an 89 overall Lance Lynn, who for some reason is selling for 58,000 coins. I think it's probably because Lance Lynn has a filthy curveball. But you know what Kerry Wood has, the Betances and Venters have, is that slurve. And the slurve is a dirty pitch. Betances, though, to me, is one of those kind of guys who you either love him or you hate him. And Will hits off Betances really well.
It's like a jugs machine, man, at your local park. It's incredible. But my team is lefty heavy. So
any other guys who you would look at? I mean, Walker Buehler's going cheap right now. Strasburg's cheap right now. Anybody else?
Oh, here we go.
Walker Buehler has been on my team since the first pitch of MLB this year. He doesn't have absolutely filthy stuff that's just going to go up and down and get everything taken care of by himself. He's going to need help out of the pen eventually. But with stamina, you could still run him into the later part of the seventh and eighth innings. Not devastating stuff like we spoke of. He's not going to throw you 102 Aaron Nola gas. But he definitely gets the job done.
I think the one thing we also missed on with pitchers is that unlike Madden, until you get like whatever it's called, the November cards or whatever, Thanksgiving, the live series players in the show have the chance to go up throughout the year. Like Bellinger started gold, Baez started gold. You know, all these guys have moved up throughout the year. So I think it's finding a guy who you're expecting a breakout year from, and you can potentially make coins or just use his talent that you get for really cheap. It's always going to be a great return on investment. And going into those pitcher steals these boys talked about, I think the best two I've found this year are Craig Kimbrell out of the pen. He has just been fantastic every game. Grayson really hates it when I bring him in.
That's true. I can attest to that. Both of these men over here to my left and right both have Craig Kimbrell all of a sudden for the past 3 weeks. And nice. I don't know if it's just the rude thing to do to pick on me because I can't keep up with the fastball right there, but the baseball physically looks like it explodes out of his hand. It just looks different coming out of his hand than anybody else's.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. Just find a couple guys in your pen you can get for cheap. Mine are Corey Knebel, Kimbrell, John Axford. Get a couple guys like that can pump it, work up and down the zone, and then the coins will come and you'll be able to make moves that you want to make. And just like they said, you can get Luis Castillo and Matt Harvey legend or flashback edition cards. They're 91, 92 overall for a total of 11K, or you can get right below a Mark Pryor for 15K. So, I mean, you make that decision.
So, I just recently reached level 100, moved over to a silver. I can't swear to it. The four guys who were available were Duke Snider, Frank Thomas, Tony Gwynn, and Clayton Kershaw, I believe. I, as someone who loves to play with speed and contact, needed a power hitter in the middle of my lineup, and I selected Frank Thomas, and it has been disastrous. I'm hitting 175, 180 with him. I already had I can't pitch with Clayton Kershaw. I hate pitching with people who have long stances, long whatever.
Wind up.
Grayson, what were you going to go with there in the level 100?
The way that I was looking, and this is pure speculation, but if you draft a pitcher at that position or from that pack that's a 99 overall, yes, he's going to be usable, but is he going to make that big of a difference? Because even when you're going into a random matchup, you have a 1 in 5 chance of being able to use that pitcher on a day-to-day basis because it's still a random draw from, you know, the algorithm that they have set. But somebody like Frank Thomas, you're going to be able to plug and play every single time that you play.
Tony Gwynn, Ichiro, whoever it may be, for sure.
I think Frank Thomas has lost value as the year is going on because early in the year, when those people, not early in the year, but like May, June, when people were reaching level 100 for playing, you know, a lot of hours quick, those power hitters were humongous because there was no one to match him. But now, like Grayson was talking about his lineup, you can get two guys for 11K that surpassed Frank Thomas's power. So that's a big thing now, just the fact that there are power hitters to match it.
The same thing to the flip side of that with the Ricky Henderson card and a lot of speed. You can find a lot of speed cards like Billy Hamilton, for instance.
Oh, I love that.
Who, you know, if you get a runner on second in the ninth inning and you need somebody to take two bags, you're getting Billy Hamilton immediately.
Right. Well, you're always carrying, for me at least, you're always carrying one guy off the bench who you know is going to be able to see you back. In my case, I carry two. But you're always going to do that. Before we round up, because we're over 20 minutes, we'll just say, don't know how often this is going to happen, weekly, monthly, something, some variety of that.
I think we'll try for weekly, right?
It will definitely be better produced as it goes along. We're not even sure this is going to be the name we're going to use. Wanted to get something out for the first week of Madden Ultimate Team. You can find us all three on Twitter. Tweet us out and ask us if you have any questions. I'm at David R. Allen Jr. Will, you're at what?
Will D. Bryant.
And Grayson, you're at, I think it's GT McKee. Is that right? 96?
GT McKee 96, correct.
So tweet at us. Ask us if you have any questions. We're all going to be playing Mutt and Diamond Dynasty for the next, you know,
foreseeable future.
Next, you know, 30 years of our life at least, until, you know, it doesn't exist anymore.
Until the floods come, yeah.
Exactly. So thanks for listening. Again, I'm David Allen alongside Will Bryant, Grayson McKee. Thanks for listening.
Hey, keep ripping.